guys, it's Carly. Welcome back to Mostly Balanced. I hope everybody had an amazing weekend. I can't believe it's almost May. It's crazy to me. So hopefully everybody's enjoying the spring weather no matter where you are. Today, I'm going to do a solo episode. And the past few solo episodes I've done have been more focused on specific topics. But this time, I really wanted to go through as many listener questions as I can. So I'm just going to dive right into it. We have some longer questions and then a few short ones from my Ask Me Anything box on Instagram. As a reminder, if you're new here, I do solo episodes a lot and I always dive into listener questions. And the best way to ask questions if you want your own question answered on the podcast is to A, wait until I have a question box in my story on Instagram. My handle is at Mostly Balanced Podcast. Or B, you can DM me anytime if you have a question, especially if it's a longer question. Or you can also email me. So the email is hello@wearemostlybalanced.com. You can send me longer questions there. If it's a question related to someone you're dating or something you're confused about, feel free to send screenshots, like anything that will give me the most detail possible. It's always super helpful to give better advice. And I also have been answering questions in my newsletter, which I've been sending out every other week. It's called Mostly Dating, and I have a sign up link below. You can sign up to receive it every other week. It's completely free, has very similar content, dating advice, relationship advice, some self-care, self-love, personal development, all of that stuff that really helps improve your dating life and your relationships. And I always answer one listener question or reader question in there as well. So lots of ways to ask me questions, lots of ways to see my responses, and pretty much any topic that you can think of, I probably already have a post on Instagram or an episode about it. So if you ever can't find a specific post or episode you're looking for, again, you can always DM me or email and ask the question, and I'll try to get back to you as soon as possible. I will say my DMs on Instagram are getting a little bit overwhelming these days. There's a lot of questions coming in there, which I do love, but just be patient if I don't get back to you in a day or so. You can always bump it up, but I do love getting those questions, and especially because I see like so many repeating themes. You'll even see in the questions I answer today, there's a lot of repeating themes out there. So that's just what makes me confident that all of this content is super relatable. I know I've dealt with similar things, and whenever I post somebody's question, I get like at least 10, 20, 30 people replying, being like, oh, I'm dealing with this too. And so we're all in this together, whether you're single and dating or you're in a relationship and you just want to improve it. All of this content is extremely relatable. So that being said, if you have a question, don't be afraid to ask. I'm sure you'll be helping a lot of people who are afraid to ask the same question. All right, so I'm going to get into the first one. This person said, almost to month 3, 2 months exclusively dating, but doesn't want labels. Is this a red flag? Okay, so you've been dating them for 3 months, 2 months exclusive, but they say they don't want labels. To me, exclusive is a label, so that's a little bit confusing, but I guess what this person is probably saying is they kind of just want to keep it exclusive and not call each other like boyfriend, girlfriend, or girlfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. And it's just one of those questions where like, it's not a blanket red flag. It's only a red flag if you do want labels and they don't. So that's a red flag. This relationship isn't right. It's more of like a mismatch in what you're both looking for. And I'm not going to go on my tangent about exclusivity versus defining the relationship just because I've talked about that on here a lot. I can link other episodes in the show notes. But once somebody is asking you to be exclusive or you guys are having that conversation about being exclusive, that's when I feel like you should also be talking about like kind of what the timeline is in terms of what comes next after that. It's not that I don't see the point of being exclusive with somebody. I just think that sometimes exclusivity, and this question is an example of that, can be sort of like somebody wanting to have their cake and eat it too. Like somebody wants to make sure that they're the only person that you're seeing, but they also like don't really want to define the relationship or completely commit to the relationship. They just want to make sure that they're kind of holding you there while they decide if they want you to be their girlfriend or their boyfriend or whatever it is. And that just doesn't sit well with me. I don't like that. It's one of those things that like it's just out of principle because, and I said this in a recent episode, I don't personally like to date multiple people when I'm dating somebody that I am interested in. So even if I've gone on 1, 2, 3 dates with somebody and I can tell that I'm really interested in them, I might not necessarily know yet, like if I want this person to be my boyfriend or whatever it is, but I do know that like I'm interested in getting to know them. And I personally know myself that like I have other things going on. I have friends, I have work, I have a life that like I like to do. My whole life is not dating. So I don't want to be wasting time just making sure I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket and going on a first date just because like I don't want to put everything in this one person. I personally do want to spend my dating life allotted time for my dating life on the person that I'm interested in getting to know. So I don't necessarily believe in not putting all your eggs in one basket. So I feel like I'm naturally just like exclusive with somebody if I like them enough to get to know them better. If I'm spending time going on multiple dates with them, I'm probably not going on dates with other people. But I get that that's not the way that everybody operates. So it could be an important conversation that you feel like you have to have. If, especially if you're becoming like physically intimate and you're having sex with this person, then I feel like you want to make sure that they're not having sex with other people. So I guess I did end up doing a tangent on exclusivity, even though I said I wouldn't. But it does seem like that's kind of along the lines of what this person was doing. So they were okay with having that exclusivity label on the relationship because, of course, they don't want this person seeing other people and they probably like hanging out with them. But then if like 2 months after you've had that exclusivity talk, they're saying they don't want a label, to me, they're never going to want a label. So if they don't like labels and you want to be in a relationship, it's not the relationship for you. And I know that's not the answer that you probably want to hear, but I'm going to be completely honest. I have been in similar situations and you kind of just stay in that situation because it's like, oh, well, I know we're exclusive. And I have a friend who actually was just in this exact situation. And she's like, he doesn't want to put a label on it. And he's just not ready to have an actual relationship, but he's telling me he's not seeing other people. I'm not seeing other people, so at least I know we're exclusive. But when you have to like use those, but at least this and at least that, or you're like holding time waiting for things to change or waiting for them to want the label, it's not right. You want to make sure that, for example, even if this person said, oh, I'm glad that we're exclusive, but personally, I'm still getting to know you. It takes me a little while to call someone my girlfriend. I usually want to know someone for like 6 months before that. Personally, I think that's like a little bit strange. But if they're just blanketly saying that they don't like labels, then it doesn't seem like there's really any change here. And you shouldn't be in a relationship waiting for something to change anyway. So unfortunately, I think that this situation should end. I think that 3 months is actually a really good time to evaluate if the relationship is going in the direction that you both want it to be. And if one person is ready to keep moving forward and the other person isn't, then like I said, that's a mismatch and it's not the right relationship for you. Okay, this next person said, had a good first date, sent text after to see again, and he ghosted. Do I send a second text or should I move on? So this again is this was in one of my question boxes on Instagram. So it's a short question, not a lot of info. I would say if you sent a straightforward text and asked them for a second date and they ghosted completely and didn't respond, yes, I would move on from that. But if you were vague and you were just like, that was fun, we should do it again, and that was it, I don't think there's any harm in trying to text again. I don't think it's a good sign. But if it's going to bug you, then I think you could try again. And then if they don't respond, I would just call it a day. If they do respond and say that they're interested in going out again, I would kind of view it as like that's a little strange, but I wouldn't view it as like necessarily a red flag or a deal breaker. And if they respond and say that they don't want to go out again, then you have your answer. Either way, if the initial text or request for another date was vague, be straightforward. This is like a very, very common theme in recent questions that I've been getting, that someone's like, oh, well, they ghosted me, or oh, I asked them out again, but now we like haven't made a specific plan. I'm like, well, did you actually ask them out, or did you just like kind of float it out there like, oh, we should get dinner sometime? You have to be as specific as you possibly can. Say, we should go out again this weekend. What are your plans on Saturday night? Or remember that place you mentioned on our second date? We should go there and get pizza on Tuesday. Are you free? Just be specific. The early stages, you want to make sure there's as little room for interpretation as possible and that you're being very straightforward with what you want. And that's A, so that they can know what you want and you can be more direct and get direct results. But it's also B, so you're not left in this state of, was that a ghost? Or like, were they saying yes? Or I think they want to go out again, but I'm not sure when. And then you have to like double text or double ask. And you're living in this gray area. And that can be easily avoided by just being a little bit more direct and straightforward in your initial ask for a date. This person said, minimal communication between dates, great time in real life. He didn't wish me a happy birthday. This was like not really a question, but I think she's trying to gauge if it's a red flag that he didn't wish her happy birthday. I gave this response on Instagram and I gave a caveat that it might sound petty, but I personally do think that somebody not saying happy birthday when they know it's your birthday is actually a really big signal that they're not looking for something serious. And again, that might sound stupid or silly, but it's such a simple thing. And people love their birthday. Like, not everybody does, but it's a day to celebrate that you were born. It's a day to celebrate you. It's like, of course, we have holidays and all these different things to celebrate, but this is like the one day that's like about you. And if somebody that you've been on dates with, she's been on multiple dates with him, they have a great time in real life and they know it's your birthday and they don't send a simple text, like they don't have to throw you a party, get you like a fancy gift, but a text saying happy birthday, hope you have a great day, is extremely easy to send. And it can mean a lot to somebody. That text can just be like a simple, like, okay, we're not at the point where we're giving gifts or we're necessarily hanging out on the birthday, but at least I know they're thinking of me and they're acknowledging that it's my birthday. If they completely ignore it, that's just A, inconsiderate, and it could just be them not thinking about it and that's inconsiderate. Or it could be like an actual thing that they thought out that they didn't want to give you the wrong impression, so they didn't text you on your birthday. Either way, it's not a good sign in my opinion. I will say that if you do really like them and you are really vibing over dates in real life, it's not necessarily a deal breaker. Like, I don't think, oh, he didn't wish you happy birthday, you could never see him again or you could never speak to him again. What I would do in this situation is probably joke around and give him a hard time about it and see how he reacts to that. So I know you said there's minimal communication between dates in general, but if he was silent on that day and then a few days later he asked you to go out on a date again, also kind of strange, but go out on the date. If you guys are still having a great time in real life, like, make a joke, be like, yeah, I didn't even hear from you on my birthday. Or if he asks how your birthday was, like, oh, it was great, thanks for wishing me happy birthday, or like something like that. You don't have to be rude or mean about it. And depends, of course, how, like, what your personality is like and kind of what your typical banter with this person is. But if you do have that relationship where you kind of kid around and give each other a hard time sometimes, I would do that. You might not be far enough in that you feel comfortable having like a serious conversation about like the way you want him to handle your birthday, and it doesn't have to be that serious, but at least like you're kind of, even in a lighthearted way, setting the expectation that you do like for things like that to be acknowledged. And then I just like kind of have your radar up in terms of if this is a pattern or not, like if he kind of makes you feel like he doesn't appreciate things about you or that he's not giving you those like little acknowledgments or showing that he cares, then having fun in real life on dates is great, but relationships are a lot more than that. So you want to make sure that you're like getting everything from this person that you want to be getting. And that does come with time, but there are these little red flags in the beginning that you should pay attention to. This next question I actually liked so much that I made a post about it, so I can talk a little bit about the post as well. But somebody asked me, and I've gotten this question or a variation of this question a lot, and they said, awkward silences on first dates. Is it a bad sign if it happens a lot? And I didn't even have to really think about this. I just knew right away. Pauses are totally natural. I used to have pauses on early dates, like breaks in the conversation or times when you're like, what do I have to say? That happens. I also have that in my relationship. Like, I could be out to dinner with my boyfriend and like there's a few seconds or a minute where like neither of us is saying anything and it doesn't bother me at all. And that's because like I've learned to be comfortable in those silences or in those moments, those pauses, those breaks in conversation. And that's because like from the start, I was okay with those times. Like, I didn't feel awkward and uncomfortable in them. I think that the key word here is awkward. And that could just be a phrase, like that's what people call these silences. It's normal to call it an awkward silence. But I think what you should do is really think about if you actually feel awkward. Like, do you feel uncomfortable? Do you feel anxious? How do you feel in those moments? Because that could be like a bigger sign than the fact that there are silences. Like, how you feel around this person, do you feel like you're being yourself and you're natural? There's just a kind of a bit of a pause where you don't have something to say, because that is totally normal, especially when you're just getting to know somebody. You're just learning their communication style. You're learning about their interests. You don't know a lot about them. So you're not always going to have like a question on hand or a topic on hand. Like, if you're in a relationship and you have those pauses, you could think in your head like, oh, I haven't asked them about their brother in a while. Like, and then you ask the question. But if you don't know them that well, you have kind of like less room to fill those gaps. And I understand if it feels like a little bit uncomfortable, but if you're feeling really anxious or you're feeling worried, like that just might be a sign or a signal that you're not that comfortable around this person in general. And that's something to pay attention to. But silences are normal. And that's why I like to have like questions and topics in my back pocket. And that's also why I think improving your conversation skills is like the best possible thing you can do for your dating life. I've talked about this in recent episodes, but it'll literally change your dating life if you just learn conversation skills. But like I said, when I got this question, I really, really liked it. And I saw that it was a theme that I was getting a lot. So I did a post with 5 ways to avoid awkward silences on dates. And that was kind of like a clicky little headline to put there. But again, I don't think you necessarily need to avoid these moments because they are totally normal. Oh, and this is a fun fact that I actually put in the post, but some studies actually show that awkward silences can indicate attraction between the two people. So don't necessarily write somebody off just because there are those breaks in conversation. And like I said earlier, the ability to actually be comfortable with the silence is the sign of a healthy relationship, and it can help bring you closer with your partner. And that is something that can really start like from the very beginning. So the sooner you learn to be comfortable in these moments and kind of to know how to handle them, the better it will serve you long term, because I can promise you, you will have silences, breaks in the conversation, moments when you don't have something to say, even if you're in the healthiest, happiest relationship ever. So when it comes to these silences, I think that the best thing you can do is embrace it. But you can also have some things in your back pocket. So one of the tips I gave was to have questions in mind. And I mean, if you follow me on Instagram, you know that I love questions to ask on this date, or questions to ask your partner, or questions to ask in this situation. Like, I have so many ideas for questions to ask. So if you go to my page and you just scroll through my reels, like for, so you're going to find so many questions that you can ask to somebody. And I'm not necessarily saying that you need to memorize a list of 25 questions or write down a list in your phone and take it out when you're on a date. You don't need to do that. And you probably shouldn't do that. But have a few questions, like 2 to 3 topics or specific questions that you want to ask them that you can fall back on if you do have these moments where you start to panic and you're like, oh, I have nothing to say. And this is actually really easy on early dates if you met them on a dating app, because on your way to the date, you can literally pull up their dating app profile, note like a couple of things about them, and have those in your mind to ask if the conversation takes a pause and you need something to say. So maybe they have on their profile a picture of them and their mom, so you know that they're close with their family. So then you know it's a safe topic to ask about. You can ask them like, oh, how many siblings do you have? Or you can ask them if they have any nieces or nephews. Those are like very simple, easy questions. Or if they have something on their profile about how they love to run, you can ask them, where do you love to run in XYZ city, wherever you're located? Or you could ask them, have you ever run a half marathon? Or what's the farthest distance you've ever run? Like, even if you don't have a specific question in mind, have a couple topics in mind, and then you can draw on those topics, and it's a lot easier to fill those silences. But a key part of that, like one of the most helpful things that you can do to make the conversation flow a little bit better, is to only ask questions that you're actually interested in the answer. So if you're thinking about, they have on their profile that they love golf and you could not care less about golf, probably don't ask them about golf. Eventually, when you guys build a relationship, if this is somebody that you really start to date long term, yes, you should show interest in their interests and you should support their hobbies and their passions and all of that. But that doesn't mean you have to like focus your first date talking about golf or something that you're completely not interested in, because chances are there's gonna be more breaks in the conversation. Like, you're gonna have pauses because you're not really gonna have much to ask them about that topic. It's gonna be a very quick conversation, and then you're gonna need to pull on something else to get the conversation going again. But if you're choosing topics that you're actually curious about, then you'll turn it into a conversation instead of like a back-to-back firing off questions interview style date. It'll be a conversation because it's like, you saw in their profile that they travel a lot. You also love to travel. That's like a common interest. And that's something that you probably will be very curious about. Like, if you saw a picture that they were in Barcelona, ask them about their trip to Barcelona, ask them questions about where they went, what their favorite part of it was, how long were they there, where did they stay, who did they go with? Like, ask topics that you can really go like a little bit deeper into, so you know the topic will stick for a little bit longer. And then on that note, you can go back to earlier subjects. So if you guys were talking about their love for running earlier, and then the conversation lasted for a little while, but then you decided to ask another question and that one didn't stick, go back to what stuck. You don't have to cover every single topic on a first date. So if a subject seemed to stick earlier, or was something interesting that they said earlier and you kind of felt like you could have kept going on that conversation, go back to it. Ask a question about a topic they brought up, or you can even, one of my favorite things to do is to kind of like paraphrase something that they said, like repeat it back to them. Don't like word for word do it like a robot, but if they were talking about something and it was interesting, paraphrase it back to them and then end it with another question. It shows that you were listening, and it goes back to a topic that you know, you already know that they're comfortable talking about. So it's just like a safe thing to do. Another thing you can do in these silences, and this depends on like how comfortable you feel with this person, like what your level of attraction with them is, or how many times you've been out, like whatever the vibe is, kind of like lean into it, embrace it with eye contact or with a smile or like a casual touch. So like I said, silence can indicate that there's some attraction building between you. So use it as a chance to like feel out that connection. And you can do that with something as simple as a smile or eye contact, or like I said, touching their arm, their shoulder, whatever it is, do something to connect with them on a different level outside of just conversation and to show that you're comfortable in those breaks in the conversation. Because chances are, if you're feeling like it's an awkward silence, they might be feeling like that too. So even something as simple as looking them in the eye for like a second or giving them like a really quick smile or touching their hand can show them like, oh, okay, yeah, she's still feeling me or he's still feeling me or whatever it is. And then you're both a little bit more at ease and you can carry on with the conversation. And then of course, the last suggestion that I gave for this is no surprise to anybody who has been listening for a little while or who follows me on Instagram, but opt for activity dates. Like switch up your dates, do something that's like a set activity, whether that's bowling, darts, like some type of game or some type of cooking class, or even if it's like a walk in the park, like something where you guys are doing something together that has like a specific set activity will help A, give you something to focus on, and B, like give you a whole other topic to draw on if there are silences. You can always, no matter whether you're at like drinks or a bar or you're doing an activity, you can always use the setting, but that's a lot easier when you have like a specific activity you're focusing on. So like I said, if you're mini golfing, say something about the course or say something about like the way that they're golfing, or just like use that activity to really like bring back the conversation. I don't necessarily love activity dates for a first date, but I usually recommend for date 3, 4, anything past that, you go on an activity date and do things that also helps you learn a little bit more about the person and see them in different environments. So again, I have a ton of posts with ideas for activity dates and why I think they're a great type of date. So if you can't find them, let me know and I'll send them your way. So back to this person's question, it's not a bad sign. She did say, is it a bad sign if it happens a lot? If you find yourself like having literally nothing to talk to this person about, to me, that isn't the same thing as kind of having like silences or breaks in conversation. If it's just no conversation at all, then yeah, that's a bad sign. But if it's just these breaks that you're kind of like getting caught up on and like worrying about in your head, try to fill them with one of these suggestions that I just gave. Also, there's just like a few conversation topics that are generally safe that you can try to ask about when there is a break. So that would be, like I said, siblings, nieces, nephews, also something about their friends, something about travel, anything about like hobbies, lifestyle, or like books, TV, podcasts, basically anything you would see in like a lifestyle magazine is safe to talk about. Okay, this person said, every girl I've dated always pulls back at about 3 months. What do I do to fix it if I can? This kind of made me, when I read this question, I kind of had like a hunch that this person isn't communicating what they're looking for or learning what the other person is looking for early on. And that's something that like I really, really do think that you should learn early on and you should communicate early on. The way that I think that you should learn what the person is looking for is by telling them what you're looking for. So I am not a fan of asking what the person is looking for. I'm a fan of telling them, I'm dating to find a serious relationship, and then see what they say. Like, I think that that's a conversation that you should have early in the dating process. So if you're constantly getting to like 3 months into a relationship and then the person pulls back, it could be A, because they're confused and they don't know what you're looking for and you've dragged it out to 3 months without talking about it, or B, they're just not looking for something serious and that was something that you could have found out 3 dates in, but instead now you're finding it out 3 months in. So the way to avoid whatever the miscommunication is or the misalignment is to communicate earlier on. And I think 3 months is naturally around the time when people do start to get either more serious or they end the relationship. So this is not an abnormal thing to happen. So I wouldn't start thinking that you're like, there's something wrong with you because you can't make it past 3 months. 3 months is basically the point that once you make it past, then it's a serious relationship, in my opinion. But of course, you don't want this to be something that's happening over and over again. So I think the way to avoid that is to just be a lot more intentional with those 3 months. So think about the types of dates you're going on. Think about the types of conversations you're having on those dates that you're going on. And I have a lot of posts with conversations that you should have at certain points in relationships. I don't believe in timelines, but I do have some posts that are like, questions to ask about the future early on. That is one of my favorite posts that I have. So I'm going to link that in the show notes. But there are certain questions that you can ask on early dates that will really tell you a lot about what this person is looking for in the future. And that doesn't necessarily mean, like, if this person says that they're looking for a relationship and you're also looking for a relationship and you guys tell each other that two dates in, that's not you guys signing a contract that you want to date each other. That's just you being clear about what your intentions with dating are in general. So then if that happens and you already did have that conversation that you knew what you both wanted in general for your dating life, and then you get 3 months in and they pull back or the relationship ends, you know that it's because you guys just weren't right together. But you don't have to wonder, like, oh, I wonder if they just didn't even want a relationship. So there'll be like a little bit more clarity in that. The questions that you ask early on can also help you learn if you and this person are compatible. So like I said, finding out what they're looking for is great, but that doesn't necessarily tell you that's what they're going to be looking for with you. That's just like the initial check off the box that you're not dating somebody who wants something casual when you want something serious. But you also want to ask questions that will help you figure out if you're compatible and if you guys would work in a relationship together. And that could be something like finding out their love language, like how they show love and what makes them feel loved. Or is there anything about my personality, lifestyle, or communication style that concerns you about our future together? That's like an amazing question to ask if you're like 5 dates in and you guys are like starting to get to that point where you're considering being more serious. Ask something like that. You can also ask them how they handle stress or a tough time. How do they like to be supported during a tough time? What's one goal that they hope to accomplish before settling down? If they could change anything about the way they were raised, what would it be? These are the types of questions that are like a little bit more, I don't want to say heavy, but they're not as lighthearted as like a first date, like what's the best travel destination you ever went to question. It's a little bit more intentional, like I said, and will help you learn if you guys are compatible and if there might be more of a future to this relationship. And again, I think these conversations could just really help you be a little bit more intentional so that you don't end up in this situation where all your relationships are ending in 3 months in. Okay, this person asked, thoughts on guys asking for your number on dating apps before a meetup? Didn't offer theirs. This actually reminds me of a topic that came up in one of my recent dating coaching sessions. And it's something that's very, very common, of course. I dealt with this a lot when I was on dating apps as well. I think some people just think this is like a natural next step. Like you've been messaging on the app, the conversation is going well. So then they ask you for your number because they want to continue the conversation. But I would use caution with this because I honestly do think that as soon as you've exchanged numbers, you're going to become pen pals, or it's much more likely that you're never going to go on a date. And that might sound contradictory because this could just be like a natural next step of talked on the app, now we're going to text, and now we're going to find a date. In my opinion, that's just like too many steps to get to the outcome that you want to be. So why do you need to have that middle step of texting in between messaging on an app and going on a date? The more boxes you have to check before going on the date, the less chance that you're actually going to go on the date. So if somebody asked me for my number on the app before we had a date planned, I would always say, oh, I actually prefer to meet somebody in real life before we start texting. Or I usually give out my number until we've actually planned a date. And that might sound like annoying, but if that's annoying to somebody, then we're not going to go on a date and that's fine. And you probably have so many matches on there that you need to weed through anyway. So if there's somebody out there that refuses to go on a date with you before you give them your number, that's just like absurd to me. I think that once you have a date planned, it's fine to exchange numbers. I'm trying to remember, I think with my boyfriend, we planned the date on the app. And then after that, I think I honestly just said, here's my number just in case or something like that. Give your number once the date is planned so that like if they need to cancel or reschedule or whatever, then at least they have your number and it doesn't all have to be through the app. Or if they want to send you like a confirmation text or make sure that you're still on, or if they want to text you like a couple times before the date, depending on like how far away the date actually is. But there's no need to just like exchange numbers just to continue a conversation. That's why dating apps have messaging capabilities. So you can have a conversation on there before you go out on a date. And the same person that I was talking to about this, one of the clients I was working with, was saying that sometimes she does like to do like a phone call or FaceTime to screen the person that she's going to go out with. And or some guys that she is planning dates with actually prefer to do that as well. And so she was asking like what my thought is on that. And I have mixed feelings. Like if there's something about this person that you feel like you need to like make sure that they're who they say they are, which if you feel that way, that's like kind of a red flag to begin with. But if there is something that you, or like you just like have had a bad experience or you just want to be like super sure that this person is like real or whatever, you could do a quick phone call or FaceTime and just like check that box. But I wouldn't stay on the phone or the FaceTime call for more than like 5 minutes. I'm not even kidding. Like, I honestly think just like a very, very quick conversation. We're not in a COVID pandemic lockdown. We don't need to do FaceTime dates for 3 hours in place of a regular first date. You don't want to do that. Like, you want to meet this person in person and see like what the connection is. You're not going to feel that on a FaceTime. FaceTime is like weird angles. You can't really see what they look like. It's probably not good lighting. It's just like not great. Like, I don't see the need for a full-on FaceTime date. But either way, I don't really love that this person is getting asked for their number without the other person giving them theirs. Like, I just think that that's, it kind of ties back to everything I always say. Like, you don't ask somebody what they're looking for. You don't ask somebody, what are we? You don't ask somebody these questions without just saying where you're at or what you're looking for, or like what your number is. It might be like a small minuscule thing, but I just think here's my number is so much more attractive to me than what's your number. It's like, why are you making me give you my number? Like, just give me yours. I don't know. I might be in the wrong on this. I'm going to do a poll on this because I feel like it's like some people might prefer to give out their number so that the other person has to text. But either way, you're on a dating app. You're there to plan a date. So just get the date planned. Reply back with something like, I'd rather plan a date and meet in person before we start texting. Very, very simple. And it cuts out a lot of that time in between. I don't think that you should be messaging with somebody for longer than a week before a date is planned. And texting will just prolong that. Okay, so this is a similar question. I'm going to end on this one. It's also about exchanging numbers, but I'm curious to hear what other people think about this. So this person said, do you have any opinions on handing someone your name and number on a piece of paper and just saying hi and a sentence or two instead of stopping them for a full 2 to 5 minute conversation? Setting is at a coffee shop or bookstore, especially if they look engrossed in something. I love this question. I laughed at the 2 to 5 minute conversation because it's very specific, but yeah, I think this is great. I don't see any problem with just handing somebody your number on a piece of paper. It's giving them a smile and saying like, call me if you want to. You don't have to stop someone and ask them a question or spark up a conversation, especially if, like you said, you're in a setting where they're like busy doing something and you feel a little bit awkward interrupting. I've actually been asked out this way. I've been asked out this way multiple times, but one time that's coming to mind was so long ago. I think it was 10 years ago. So it was like before dating apps. I don't know. It was a long time ago. And I was on the subway and I was sitting down and another guy was on the subway standing up and we had like exchanged glances a few times, but he was like, he had like flashcards he was going through. Like, looked like he was studying for something. And I think I was like listening to music on my phone, but he was about to get off the subway. And right on his way off the subway, he just handed me one of the like flashcards that he had been going through. And I looked down and it just said his name and his number. And then let's get dinner ? Or something like that. It was like something very, very simple. And I texted him and we went on a couple dates. And I will say that like, I really, really respected that he did that. I wasn't like, oh, he couldn't just talk to me. Why did he hand me this sheet of paper? I thought it was unique. I thought it was like respectful because it wasn't like, it doesn't put the person on the spot. I think that like, that's another thing about asking somebody for their number directly can kind of like put them on the spot. This is a great way to ask somebody out. I actually think that like, it might be better than trying to talk to them in these settings. So if it's on the subway, in, like you said, in a coffee shop, I mean, I guess you could talk to somebody in that setting, but if it's a setting where you feel uncomfortable or you don't want to put them on the spot, hand them a sheet of paper. I know not a lot of people are like walking around with paper and pen to write their name and number on, but if you have that available to you and you want to try to do that, by all means, do it. I think that it could be a great way to just like put it out there. Other times it's happened to me has been like the number on the receipt kind of thing or like something like that. Like, I think that maybe like, I feel like waiters have done that, like their number on like a bill, or maybe when I was like waitressing or bartending, someone's number on the receipt, like are easy ways to do it if you want to shoot your shot that way. If you're at a bar, it's easy to like get a napkin and put your name and number on it. Yeah, let's do it. I'm challenging everybody to do that. If you're single and you want to approach people, try writing it down on a sheet of paper. And this person said a sentence or two. I don't think you necessarily need to write like a few sentences on there. I think literally just say like your name, your number, and let's get dinner sometime or let's get a drink or whatever it is. Let me know how it goes. I'm curious about this. I think this is a good challenge for all of the single people out there. All right, I'm going to end the episode there. Thank you for these questions. Again, if you have questions that you want me to answer on a future solo episode, you can send them to hello@wearemostlybalanced.com or on Instagram to @mostlybalancedpodcast. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please give it a rating and a review. And you can sign up for the newsletter below. I'm doing a monthly giveaway, so I'll be choosing the April winner in the next couple of days. So you have a couple of days to enter. The link is below. All you need to do is subscribe and you'll get the newsletter in your inbox every other Wednesday. Thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you all next week.